Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
I heard a bird sing in the dark of December, a magical thing and sweet to remember. We are nearer to spring than we were in September. I heard a bird sing in the dark of December. Oliver Herford. Just think, starting tomorrow, December 22nd, the daylight hangs around a little bit longer. The march to spring is underway. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of December 21st and 22nd. Really jam show coming up. We're going to be talking stripers in the next few segments. Just a reminder, three more stocking dates left for ringnecks and bobways. For this Tuesday the 24th and next Saturday the 28th in the Rack and Fin Radio Central and South Jersey listening area. Assinpink, these numbers are for both. Assinpink will get 320 and 320. Kyers Mills, 200, 200. Howardsville, 50, 50. Manahawkin, 50, 50. Manasquan, 110, 110. Medford, 80, 80. And Stafford Forge, 160, 160. In the Southlands, Dix, 130 both days. Glassboro, 100 both days. Hyersville, 50 and 50. Madhorse, 90, 90. Millville, Big Millville, 340 both days. Nantucket, 110 both days. Port Republic, 50, 50. Tuckahoe, 110, 110. And Winslow, 140 for the Bobwhites. Greenwood and Peasley on Tuesday, the 24th, 400. And for Saturday, the 28th, 280 each. Man, have a really jammed show coming up. Like I said, we're going to be talking bass, so... It is, good news, I guess, if you want to hear it. Hang in for the next segment, and we will be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Oh, still, man, you got the deer season still going. You got rabbit and squirrel still going. A lot of hunting going on. But the march to spring begins at midnight. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
What does a health plan for everyone mean? With AmeriHealth, it means access to some of the lowest cost plans in New Jersey. Backed by one of the largest networks of doctors and hospitals in the state, it means 24/7 virtual care on your time and your terms, and the support of a customer service team that always has your back. Compare plans and enroll now at AmeriHealth.com. A health plan for everyone.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Was it much to do about nothing? Remember last week I'm talking about it's going to be stripers, 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 and more stripers. All hell's coming to pay. What was that scene from Josie Wales? Chief Dan George, hell is coming to breakfast. Well, good news, at least from this corner and the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio. It's going to be status quo for stripers next year in 2025. There are threats of all sorts of draconian whatevers, partial closures. Even the M-word was floated around. Okay, it's going to be the 28 to 31 inch slot. The bonus tags are still going to be available. I hope, fingers crossed on that. I don't know, man. Put in a call to the main man, Rack and Fin Radio's legislative advisor, Tom Foti. He's a legislative chairman, Jersey Coast Anglers Association, New Jersey State Federation of Sportsman's Club, and he is the advisor to the ASMFC Striped Bass Board representing New Jersey. Tommy Foti, before we get going, Merry Christmas to you and the lovely Linda. How you doing, little brother?
I'm doing fine. I mean, it's a beautiful day, and I'm talking to you, so how could it get any better?
His sarcasm knows no bounds, people. No time in many years. Well, Tom, was it much to do about nothing? I know we talked the other night off the air real quickly setting this up, and thanks for coming on such short notice, especially with you as busy you are this time of year. But, Tom, did cooler heads prevail? I mean, there was a lot of pressure for the cuts. I mean, go into this scenario. I'm putting my coffee. I'm sitting back to listen, people, because this is how it played out. Go, T.
Okay. We have problems with striped bass. I admit that. And basically, it's the young of the year and the recruitment. But the recruitment and the young of the year have nothing to base on fishing pressure at this time. The spawning stock biomass is big enough to produce the highest young of the year. So what's going on in the Chesapeake Bay is the problem, and it's not the fishermen. It's basically the environmental issues that we deal with.
Okay, Tom, let me interrupt you a second. Does the Hudson River stock play into this at all?
Well, the Hudson River stock had a bad year this year, and last year was not the greatest, but the year before it was great.
Okay.
The Hudson River, if you think about what happened this spring, I basically canceled... I think 10 trips, 8 trips, because that I go out fishing on because the weather was so horrible.
Oh,
the rain.
Yeah.
Remember, everything was running out of Raritan Bay. Matter of fact, in 25 years of fishing up in Raritan Bay, it was the worst spring I had because there was no bunker. Everything got washed in the ocean when we had all those downfalls in April. And that affects what happens in the spawning grounds. You know, as Bob Pond, and people out there who don't remember who Bob Pond was, he invented Adam lures.
Mm-hmm.
And the famous Adam 40.
Adam 40, yeah.
And Bob, in the 70s, that's how I got involved, came to Berkeley Striber Club and talking about acid rain and everything affecting, because that was when the striped bass stocks collapsed, says the environmental issues are playing a big role in it. And Bob was right. It's still happening now. And this mm-hmm. is, he was ahead of his time. He was a prophet when he went around to all the clubs. And that's when I started getting involved. And that was Berkeley Striber Club in the, probably 75.
But Tom, now, from what you're telling me, this for this situation now, there was, oh, God, out of how many million striper fishermen, there was pretty much intense pressure for these draconian measures, was that?
Well, here's what the thing was. They were looking at 25 because the 2018 year class is coming in, and there's going to be more fish available to catch. But somebody, you know, we didn't do what they thought we did this year. Our catch was down this year dramatically again, and we all know that because it was a slot limit. And so we didn't put the mortality on that they were assuming in the models when they made the models, and we were looking at them in August because we didn't have wave four and five.
Five, right.
I mean, mm-hmm. five and six. And when they looked at them, they said, no, this is not, we're gonna be below or maybe at where we're supposed to be. The other thing was they did the chart, and this is, they, you know, I don't care what these guys all say, you know, the catch and release guys. If you look at those graphs that they put up there, and everybody pointed them out, whether it's commercial fishermen, recreational fishermen, or just people with common sense, if you do nothing, we're going to get in the same place in 2029, according to their own statistics, you know, because it's like 2 points difference from 55 to 48, 52. I mean, that statistical difference on striped bass, when you look at charts and graphs like that, is 10 points.
Right.
It's worse than the elections. And so you look at surveys. And so you say, there's
man.
No real reason to do this. And I think we have a good commissioner on Atlantic States Marine Fishery, does a hell of a job, Adam Nowalski. And Adam, you know, he basically made the argument, made the motion, and pointed out to people to have a backbone and not just listen to 2,200 people that have been basically been testifying for 30 years that we should not have we should only do catch and release fishery because they're catch and release.
Tom, I imagine Nowalski had some intense heat from hell on that one.
You have to have a thick skin to do what we did. I mean, I did a commissioner's job. I just figured out because somebody asked me actually how many years. So out of my years, and I served 24 years as a governor's appointee off and on, and 6 years of the legislative proxy.
Right.
I get nasty emails all the time. Matter of fact, I went into a club dinner the other night. I sat, as an Italian always does, in the back of the room with my face forward to make sure nobody's behind me.
He's smoking, people. He's on it.
And the guy walks up. He says, I don't like you. I says, I don't know you. And he says, yeah, but what you do on striped bass. And we had a conversation. And I says, after we finished the conversation, he says, you're wrong and I'm right. You basically, he says, well, could I be an advisor? I says, can you look outside your own little head?
Yeah.
Can you look at all the other people that fish? Because that's not what you're doing. You're looking what's good for you. And because you're a fly fishing charter man, you don't really want anybody to take fish because you just want more fish for your customers to hook and release. But that's not what striped bass is about. That's not what the fishing resource is. If it's usable, mm-hmm. if it's sustainable, we should be able to harvest. Because we've been harvesting striped bass. The Indians were harvesting before we got here, but since we've been here, we've been harvesting since we landed in Plymouth Rock. I mean, and that was a supplement. They were actually using it for fertilizer back then.
Tom, I was talking with guys in the 50s that were seen in some old black and white photos. You know the Polaroids, the Polaroid with the little white edges around them?
And the stocks have always been, all fish stocks are sometimes cyclical or sometimes it's because of the weather, what the weather is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And this striped bass is more what we've been doing for the last 20 years, 30 years. And I've talked about it. Striped bass is just as affected as white suckers in the Colorado River or smallmouth bass in the Potomac River. Because of the endocrine disruptors we're putting into the system, we feminize the male fish. I mean, there's less male fish. They're basically, like the smallmouth bass they did the study on, were trying to lay eggs. They had actually female organs. In Boulder, Colorado, above a sewer plant where the water was pristine, you had it, 42 females and 36 males. Below the sewer plant, you had 110 females, 10 males, and 10 had both sexes.
Hey, yeah, that's good just for another show. I want to get back to this basic. So did you have, and heart of hearts voted, did you have an inkling, and I know how well you know Adam and how Adam works, you guys on the boards are just hard-ass workers here. Did you have an inkling that it was going to turn out as it did with the status quo? I mean, deep down, Fody, deep down, Paisana, what do you got?
I didn't think it was going to go like that. I thought that the 2,000 letter writers that write all the time, because they're organized, they're very organized, and we're not in the recreational community. I mean, and they get their voices heard because they bang the drum the hardest, we're going to maybe prevail. Because a lot of the commissioners don't have backbones. They don't want to get beat up outside in the press and everything else. And they don't want, these guys are very vicious. They're very nasty. I mean, I've been attacked by them, as you know, for 35 years. Except I'm a Vietnam vet, and I'm used to being attacked. You couldn't even wear a Vietnam hat in the 70s, otherwise you're going to get into a fight. And I don't mind fighting, you know that. But I don't really need it all the time. So It, you get a tough skin, and you have to have a tough skin.
Adam
gave him the backbone by pointing out the facts, pointing out the science that we're putting all this problems with the we're killing the fisheries, we're killing the recreational and the commercial fishing industry, and we're doing it other species also, like whether it's black sea bass or scup, because of regulation needlessly put on us. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's not our job. Our job is to have sustainable fisheries. And unlike the Mid-Atlantic Council that wanted to cut back on black sea bass this year, the Atlantic States started standing up because they did that. They did it for the first time. They said, we're not putting in that restriction. And the smarter heads have gotten some thought and say, maybe these charts and things that we've been basically doing are not the right way of doing this. We need to address the problems that are causing it, not just hurt the fishermen out there trying to catch a fish, take home and eat, commercial fishermen trying to make a living. I mean, but that's what they got the backbone, and they stood up. Because when they voted 12, I said, I think he's going to get this vote, but it's going to be close. Because the other votes were close, 8-8 or something like that, it was one tie. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it was 12-2. And I says, damn. The light went off in their head, and they always came to a scientific decision. Not saying that next year, when we get more information, there's going to be more concern over striped bass and recruitment. I mean, it's not going away, and we need to address it. And that's why, as you know, I've been writing all about hatcheries and supplementing the striped bass the same way they did in the 70s and the 80s. And we need to maybe take that into serious consideration if we want to have a future striped bass fishery and have good recruitment. Because, in the last 50 years, they introduced blue cats. And they're eating the hell out of
that was kids. They never expect one. They didn't expect them to travel like that, and two, they never expect. I'm a catty aficionado. Yes. They never expected them to adapt to the salt, the brackish and even saltier water environment as they have. I mean, they're wreaking havoc down here. But Tom, back to the striper. How does this augur now for the future? Is it back to the drawing board? And next year is going to be status quo. What do you possibly see happening?
Well, also, I think we gave them the backbone because some of us have really been blasting the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission because they slipped this in an addendum that they could take emergency action, which they're not doing on any other species like they're doing on striped bass.
Right.
And just without going out to the addendum process. So what they're going to do, and I applaud them for doing that, is actually go out to the public. So the people that don't like to write letters and things like that, the people like me that can't spell worth a damn and feel embarrassed sometimes to write letters unless I have spell check on me. They have the opportunity to actually talk in a public hearing. And unlike this meeting the other day, they basically, when they went to the public, you had two and two. Now, there's 500 guys on the internet, and all you let was two and two speak.
Right.
I mean, and that's, so this one, you'll have an opportunity, because when they do public hearings for an addendum, they will listen to everybody who wants to speak, and they will stay there until you get a chance. What you need to do as a community, we need to start working together.
We need to
start being civil to each other. We're not politicians.
Fody, you're jumping my segment, Fody. Come on, man.
Listen,
we'll be right back with Tom Fody again. The second segment I want to discuss, Tom wrote a great paper, and, you know, I took it, you know, looking at every side, one side, two side, and the third side topic. What has happened with the recreational fishing community working together? We only have a few minutes on the other side of this, but really something to sit down and think about as the year winds down, a new year approaches. Now, don't forget, December 31st, last day for Bass in the Back. March 1st will be here before you know it. Tommy, hang in for another second. People, grab that cup, grab that rib. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Happy holidays from South Jersey's talk station.
Happy holidays.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Military Matters.
The Pentagon published its 2024 China Military Power Report. It found that China is expanding its nuclear force, increasing military pressure on Taiwan, and deepening ties with Russia, while also removing at least 15 high-ranking military officers, including its defense minister and defense industry executives, from their posts for alleged corruption. The purge of top leaders within the People's Liberation Army includes the Chinese defense minister, Dong Jun, whose fate is still unknown. The Pentagon's Eli Ratner spoke after the report's release.
15 senior PLA officials already rounded up is just the tip of the iceberg, and one should expect that this is something that's going to continue and we're going to see more and more of in the years ahead.
China now has over 600 operational nuclear weapons and is projected to exceed 1,000 by 2030.
Expansion of China's nuclear program raises the question of what are all these nuclear weapons for, and they haven't answered that question.
For Military Matters at the Pentagon, Jennifer Griffin, Fox News.
En Atlantic City Electric ofrecemos algo más que energía. Ofrecemos mejoras en la red para mayor confiabilidad, asistencia y apoyo con el pago para mayor tranquilidad y soluciones de energía más limpias para un futuro más sostenible. Ofrecemos más para impulsar el camino hacia una energía más limpia, asequible y resiliente para todos. Más información en AtlanticCityElectric.com/More Than Energy.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Next to the last program of the year. Wow, man, this has been a whirlwind on the lines right now. Is Tom Fody. Can't say frequent guests, but infrequent guests of our, like, matters, like, well, red flags up. Tom's the legislative chairman, Jersey Coast Anglers Association, and the Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs. He's also an advisor on the ASMFC's Stripe Bass Board representing New Jersey. The topic here, again, because I see it in not many, some of the shops. I mean, you go to me, you hear this, and you suck. It's getting to the point where fishing tribe. She's otherwise an arch conservative, very, very just, but anti-fishing. I mean, she says, you know, the movement, which that's what they used to call it, and she did get, to her credit, she did get out. Shout out RT, as her initials, when she said the movement started to espouse violence to humans. When they started, and then she said, I had to get out. That was wrong. But she said to me once, we don't have to do anything. You guys, between the bow hunters and this and the fishermen and that and who this is, you guys eat yourselves alive, and we're going to win eventually. Paraphrasing, but pretty damn close. And then sometimes you hear and you see the vitriol between angling groups, individual angling. It gets crazy. Passion is one thing, but going overboard is pretty good, pun intended, is another. I want to address this with Fody because he had an excellent segment in this Fisheries Management and Legislative Report for the November JCAA newsletter. The segment there, what has happened with recreational fishing community working together? In this regard, Tom P., Tom F., I'll tell you, with the striped bass and this catch-and-release movement that is absolutely, to me, getting out of control.
Yeah, I think what's happened is before we all belonged to fishing clubs in New Jersey, there was hundreds of clubs, as you know. I mean, it's a new year, and I had to get depressed again at the new year because as you know, the Greater Point Pleasant Charter Boat Association has been around for a long time. Matter of fact, that's where Reef Rescue came out. That's where we got the thing. They were in charge of that Pete Grimless, getting the pots off the reef. They also have done raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for artificial reef programs over the day. And I walked in and saw Frank because I was getting some orthopedic stuff. And he says, how's the club doing? He says, we're folding.
Oh, man. I didn't hear it. Wow. When was this, Fody?
This is about last week. I went and saw him. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I've been talking about it, and I'm going to write about it. I mean, this is what's happened. A lot of the clubs are down to bare bones. Mm-hmm. And when we sat around in a club room and we disagreed on fisheries, but we had respect for each other because we fished together and we talked together and we played together and we ate together and we had a Christmas party together. But when you're not in clubs and you're sitting by a computer thinking and realizing you can say whatever the hell comes out of your head without having your filters because you're not looking a guy in the face, then it becomes vitriol. Yeah. And that started happening. It's not new. It was doing. I mean, it used to be. I won't mention the message board, but they were beat up me and Jimmy Donofrio, and it was one person. And I, you know, the guy that ran the message board. I says he never met me. He never looked me in the eye. And Jimmy said the same thing. He says so. We walked into a meeting, and we know he was there. And as soon as we walked in the meeting, he cringed out the back door because he didn't want to face us.
Right.
Now, when you have to face a person and say the nasty things, some people do that. I mean, I had a guy the other day who says, I don't like you. I said, I didn't even know you. Why do you don't like me? Yeah. We've never met. And then he talks about striped bass. And after we're sitting down and talking and learning my history, he was a lot more respectful. I mean, and that's what it takes. You've got to respect the other person's view. We don't communicate with each other. You and I know that 20 years ago, if we were doing bluefin tuna, I could get 300 people in a room. I could get the filming coalitions to work together. Same thing with striped bass. In the 80s, we started putting groups together. By the 90s, we had from Maine to North Carolina meeting on striped bass yearly as groups at almost every striped bass board meeting because they were held in the States back then. It wasn't all down in D.C., so you get people to come from the local area. And we worked together. Now, why'd that stop? Two people got nasty, and they broke the golden rule, which was you don't attack each other, which they say in a room, because we want to have a free exchange of ideas. And the both of them went out and got nasty on message boards, attacking them and each other, and just that. And then nobody trusted that. And that was 96. And I'm not going to say who the two people were, but one was from New York and one was from New Jersey. You can guess.
Yeah.
And they just, one from New York is still being as nasty as hell. He attacks me and everybody else that doesn't agree with his philosophy of that the only fish he could sell is tuna and things like that, but striped bass is the holy grail. And I always laugh at that because they'll sell bluefin tuna, they'll sell this and that. But when it comes to striped bass, after I made it a game fish, after I made it no sale in New Jersey and tried to do it up on the whole coast, they'll still go out and sell bluefin tuna, but you can't do it to striped bass because in New Jersey it's against the law. You need to be more respectful. Now, disagreement and controversy is always going to happen.
Sure.
I always said if you put 10 striped bass in a room and decide what the regulations were, you'd have nine different answers.
Exactly right, yeah. Tom, let me interrupt just a second. Do you, sorry for my rudeness, but it's me. And you know me for, 30-some years. Do you think the social media platforms have really played into this division that you see, this chasm, this schism that seems to be widening in between the recreational fishing groups and individual anglers?
Yeah,
especially on the saltwater front.
Saltwater, it's every front. They're internet bullies. I mean, they're basically, and they have the power of the keyboard. So people that basically, you know, were basically hiding someplace else and didn't want to get involved because they didn't want to put themselves out in front. They could do it behind some name they use on the internet or something like that.
Right.
And they wouldn't come to meet and face their fellow fishermen or basically talk it over. Now they can do it and say. And I also think there was a period of time that we had a lot of people on the internet were attacking us about fishing and we didn't even fish. I mean, you remember that 20 years ago, what we were worried about was PETA.
Oh yeah.
Because they were protesting our tournaments because they said we were playing without food and things like that. And I don't think that's happening now. I think
Tommy, that movement's still alive. Different avenues over, but
you don't hear it.
Right.
I mean, I hear it on hunting because, you know, I got called. Yeah. I got a woman in my face when we did bow hunting and basically called me every name in the book. Told her she was a nice old lady. And I basically stopped and says, wait a minute. I love you. Can we hug each other and release all this tension? She's never come near me again. I mean, I don't want to fight with old ladies. I don't want to fight with old guys. We want to work together. And the big thing is we're looking to have sustainable resources.
Right.
We're putting all this effort in fighting with each other when we should be fighting about what's going on with the environment. And that's the difference. We've lost track that Susquehanna River has all this corn production on both of its sides. There's a lot of farmland, Pennsylvania, which is good. We need farmland. But the herbicide they spray on corn is an estrogen mimicker. So we're dumping all the stuff. It washes down the Susquehanna, goes through the dam. They take all the oxygen out of the water. They release it from the bottom, which is dead water, containing all the chemicals. And that's what comes down into the Chesapeake Bay from the northern side. And that's why, again, there's a lot of problems. I mean, we should be working on those issues together. How do we basically get, you know, we're losing a lot of fish because of global warming, whether you believe it or not. But that's, all you have to do is look at that report that I've sent you in 1955, what we were fishing for in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
What was the, because it's the best study we've ever, of any state that has done on fishing back then, and the economic values and everything else. But it says, you think about it, when you first, we were still getting mackerel inshore when you were fishing. Mm-hmm. We were still getting ling. We were still
ling and white in the Long Branch Pier when I was a youngster.
They were still getting, matter of fact, remember all the dredging restrictions in Cape May? That was because they had winter flounder 50, 60 years ago, 70 years ago. They don't have any now. They don't have any scub down there at all. They had it 70 years ago because those fish, the water has gotten too warm for them. I mean, we never had cobia up here and tarpon, and we're still going to do. I mean, that's what we're going to have to adapt to, fishing 20 years from now. Well, it won't be me. It'll be you because you're a lot younger than me.
Well, Tom, to counter that, though, I had a guy tell me, oh, there's climate, blah, 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 blah. Now they have Sheep's Head up here. Sheep's Head. I said, Bud, you ever hear of Sheep's Head Bay, New York? They had that name for a reason. And Tom, Redfish, Ocean City area, A.J. McLean's Fishing Encyclopedia. Ocean City, New Jersey used to be considered the redfish capital back in the 40s, 50s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and the mid-Atlantic region. But Tom, back to, we're up against a hard break here. I'm gonna drag your ass in the studio. You're going to have to get away from that little Tom's River under the goon place. You're going to get that. But listen to me, folks. Listen to me. Is it a fool's errand to believe that the lion will lay down with the lamb, so to speak, insofar as I'm for this and you suck, I'm for that and you suck. What about, again, it's going to the flounder, to the fluke. Oh, my God, this past year with the regulation we had last year could have a lot more keepers. Or said, yeah, those people suck. No, you like the 3-18, that's wrong. I can't keep it. We'll become a better fisherman. Tom, I see arguments where veins pop out in people's foreheads.
I know.
Do you think that will ever, or is it just that is humanity as we know it? And believe me, I'm no Boy Scout, Cub Scout, Girl Scout, whatever.
Yeah. I believe that. I'm always optimistic. And I think what I'm trying to do now is reach out to other states. And I've gotten people on phones in the last 4 or 5 days talking about we need to work together up and down the coast. And these are people saying, you know, Tom, you're right. They're basically, we've got to stop all this garbage that's going on. We worked together in the 70s. We worked together in the 80s, whether it was bluefin tuna, whether it was striped bass, whether it was summer flounder. Look at how we had 900 people show up at the hearing on Long Branch, the biggest hearing they ever had on any species of fish. That's what we need. We need, and we need all the people, not just the catch and release guys in there. We need the guys that want to take a fish home to eat. Yeah. And they need to be more vocal. I know it's hard to get up in front of people and disagree with them, but as long as you're respectful of them and do it nicely and just say, this is the right way of doing it that I feel for my what I want to do. I mean, and that's it. And also, if we start restricting so much, we're going to lose fishermen coming into. I mean,
yeah, exactly right.
Fishing, When I was 12 years old, you'd take two buses to go to Canarsie Pier and fish with the rats crawling all over it just to catch a few snappers, or porgies to bring
porgies,
home. Or climb on the girders on the Marine Parkway Bridge, is now called the Gil Hodges Bridge, going, you know, from Brooklyn to to Rockaway, to Reese Park. You did that, and you'd come home with this bag of fish, and your mom would cook it, and you basically, you were contributing to the house. Well, now it's changed into what we want to do. We need to work together. And I'm going to try to be as civil and as nice to everybody and work together, which is sometimes hard for me, but I will try as much as I can, because we can't let it go the way it is. We need also to get, you need to get involved. You can't sit by the sidelines and just grumble on the beach or grumble in the boat. You need to turn out. When we're going to have, they're going to go to public hearings. I mean, the next steps are, they will meet in January. They will start proposing an addendum to the plan, which is the right way of doing it. They will basically send a task to the TC and the planning board to basically get the document ready to go out to public hearings. They'll vote on a document probably in May to take out to hear a scoping meeting to go to hearings, show up to the hearings. Make your point that you like to fish and make it respectfully. And then we will, by after the August meeting, between August and an annual meeting in next year, they will basically go out to real public hearings on the document to basically make the final plan. And we have a benchmark stock assessment coming up. So, guys, it's important for you to make those meetings, make sure they're basically doing the right thing, and give them cover from the people that are basically too extreme. It's like, if you don't sit there, if you don't get involved, you say, well, I don't really need to do this, or I don't want to I don't have to fight. You don't have to fight. You just need to make your argument what you want.
And Tom, let me before we're really up as a break here, I get it. It's Fody, man. Come on. It's T. Fote here. But Tom, the late, great, he was a 400 Limbaugh on that whole crew. The late talk show host out of New York on WABC, Bob Grant, passed away. He had a great closing line, Tommy, as in, no matter your thoughts on his political bent. He says, your influence counts. Use it. Whatever side of the aisle you're on, whatever side of the issue you're on, your influence, whether it's, and all the politicians I've spoken with, Tom, an email, a written letter, phone calls are great, but and he says, you know, when you have a meeting, when I see the one guy, cool guy, you know, again, on the other side of the aisle, but he said, Tommy, he says, when I see a lot of faces in the room, that shows me people care. Now, it could be, I guess, what I'm for, but he's right. They want to see the numbers.
Somebody says petitions and things like that. And I have politicians, good-time politicians, tell me, he says, Tom, when I get a letter from a person like you, misspelled, things going, I says, I know you're not a writer. So it's this issue is that important to you that you're writing a letter. So you're like 100 things I get on a petition or a sign on a letter that has 100 signatures, 200. That counts as much as your letter because you've taken the time to do something that you're not used comfortable doing.
The same thing, as Paul said, the same thing to me. Petitions, well, worth it, but it's just names. I don't know. Whatever, Tom, you know what I'm saying. Well, Tom, let's rub against a heartbreak. You and a lovely Linda, don't tell me. Let's see. Christmas Eve, 72 people at the Fody household.
No.
52?
Only 40.
Only 40. T, you be good, man. Merry Christmas. Best of Linda and the family. You take care.
I'll talk to you next year.
We'll see you, brother. Yeah.
Bye. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com.
Fox News. I'm Deborah Valentine. As the clock ticked past midnight, the U.S. Senate approving a stopgap measure funding the federal government until mid-March. The vote, 85-11. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
It's a very good thing that one of the final acts of the 118th Congress is delivering a huge win for working Americans. I thank my colleagues on both sides of the aisle for their outstanding work.
The House sent the measure to the Senate after it passed the lower house overwhelmingly, 366-34, 34 Republicans voting nay. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
This is America First legislation because it allows us to be set up to deliver for the American people.
The bill providing $100 billion in aid to hurricane victims and $10 billion for struggling farmers. President Biden's expected to sign it into law today. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. For today, windy and colder with low clouds with a high of 36. For tonight, clear, windy, and colder with a low of 16. For tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, breezy, and quite cold. The coldest air so far this season with a high of 28. Tomorrow night, clear and cold, low 12. On Monday, dawn is cold with plenty of sunshine in the area with a high of 36. Monday night, partly cloudy, low 22. I'm AccuWeather's Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
It is that time of year, man. The new TV season will be here shortly. What, within a week, 10 days? Holy smokes. Man, I'll tell you, not the YouTube shows, which are fine, whatever, but like balls to the wall, like TV, maybe even TV shows. To make it more than a season, two season, three season is a testament to, man, having a lot of intestinal fortitude on that. But joining us on the line right now, very special guest. Try to get him here at least once or twice a year. He's the host creator of the award-winning George Poveromo's World of Saltwater Fishing, airing on the Discovery Channel. It's going to be entering its 25th year next month, and George is also the host of the wildly popular Saltwater Sports and Seminar Series. Check this out, people. Now in its 38th year, and it's coming to Atlantic City January 25th at Resorts Casino and Hotel. George has, I want to talk to him briefly just to say hi, happy new, how's he eating, the whole family down. He's loving it live down here in Florida, but the trials and tribulations. Just so you know, everybody has a dream. The trials and tribulations of a successful, award-winning, top-rated show. Just some of the crazy things that happened. George, how you doing, brother? Merry Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas to you too, Tom, and to all your listeners out there. And, you know, 25 years TV, 30 of the seminars. I'm feeling like the Dick Clark of fishing.
When did you start? Did you start this when you were 6, 7 years old? That's a lot of time there, George. Because you're looking good, my brother. You're looking good.
I just say we started this all as a project in kindergarten and went out of control from there.
George, well, the seminar series, we're going to have you on in a few weeks about that. Listen, it's going to be a sellout again, so I'll talk to you about it. You have national hosts, you have local experts in here. It's going to be a great time, as it always is. And again, pretty much, if not always a sellout, pretty damn close to it. So we'll get into that in a few weeks. But George, to the TV show, top rated, it's been around for, like I said, going on 25 years. That's pretty much unheard of. Especially, you know, with everything out there, you keep it going. It's always fresh. But listen, there's one, George availed to me, one show in particular. I was talking to him the other day. I said, George, this past season, now he's going to be coming on. We have a Jersey show coming up with Tommy Davin. But, George, the one time, holy bleep, we may not be able to pull this off. What was what do you want to call this segment, George?
We're talking about the Azores?
The Blue Marlin from Hell.
we got the name. It's called Blue Marlin Be Damned.
Oh, Blue Marlin Be Damned. Hell Be Damned. Same thing, man. George, really, listen, we don't have much time. Just to show you what it takes to, when it comes down to it, you're talking a lot of money. The big green machine is here because that's what it's all about. George, go into that. That sounded like a wild-ass trip, man.
Well, we had a trip to the Azores, which is owned basically by Portugal.
Portugal, yeah.
And the Azores get the biggest run of really big marlin. If you want to catch a marlin, 700, 800, maybe 1,000 pounds, that's where you go.
Granders, yeah, it's grander territory.
Yeah, so we ended up going over there to film a show. We fished 5 days, okay? And when we got there, the marlin obviously pushed through, and it was just very slim pickings. The first day, we raised one blue and a teaser, and that was it. Didn't hit a bait. Second day, we raised one blue, knocked a lure, never got hooked, and hit another lure, never got hooked, and that was it. Then for the next few days, nothing. And we're telling the captain, we got to pull a show off. I mean, with all of the Azores here, we just can't go back and, you know, do a National Geographic special on the land. We got to catch a fish. It's a fishing show. But now, the reason I titled it Marlin Be Damned, they like the marlin over there, but they have the most incredible run of tunas where you have yellowfin, big eye, and bluefins all mixing in the same waters at the same
time.
That
is amazing.
And they don't want to fish for it. So on the final half a day, and actually the final 3 hours left in that trip, I said, we want to get a tuna. I said, I'm really interested in
tuna. Hey, so George, were you running your fingers through your hair like, what the hell?
I'm looking at Rob Green, the show producer. I said, well, we got to make a makeup show when we get back home because this one's not going to work. We don't have a fish. He goes around the island, and look, there's birds everywhere, big tunas crashing, and we go right through, and we catch a 220-pound big-eyed tuna and save the show with that. And the guy says, well, this is it. You know, we want to catch tuna. This is how you do it. And I said, why the hell did we do this early? I said, you know, people from the Northeast, okay, Jersey, yeah, they like a big blue marlin. But if they knew you had this kind of tuna fishing there, they'd be over there for the tunas. The hell with the blue marlin.
And, George, the prices are still, you know, so reasonable. But listen, George put I heard this rumor, Poverum. Maybe it was you because the initials were GP. Put a suggestion into the Azores/Portugal Board of Tourism about maybe getting an Arby or something over there to improve the dining opportunity.
Yeah, you know, it was a most beautiful country. It's amazing, the scenery there. Yeah. But the one thing that was a little lax, it was the food. You know, we think we're going there to get these great paellas and all the seafood. And no, they were very big of buffets. You know, a lot of the beef, a lot of the chickens, a lot of the... You know, and then again, in the breakfast where you get in the boat, they have all buffets for breakfast, and they, you know, and they get these, the bacon, it stretches like gum.
You said it was like slingshot.
Yeah. You can put somebody's eye out with it. And so everything was really good, but the food was just like, that was like the port that was, you know, we didn't go there for the food, but we figured we'd get some spectacular seafood and, yeah, well, like I was saying, if there was an Arby's out there, I would have probably eaten at the Arby's every night.
George, it's when a crunch time when it comes down to it. Listen, again, YouTube's one thing, but when you're talking big money production, you're talking national stuff internationally. George, it comes down to people don't realize, or maybe they'll have a new respect for the incredible pressure, the pressure cooker that you're under to get a show and get a good show, get an excellent show when you're on the clock, when you have weather involved, when you have recalcitrant fish. They're like, nah, I don't think I like that lure. I don't think I want that bait. It gets hairy, bro.
No doubt about it. The pressure's on. We need to turn in 13 new episodes to Discovery Channel, and we want to get our season wrapped up by November. And we had such a very windy fall and early winter this year. It was terrible. In fact, instead of having a normal 3 or 4 day window, we could go out and get a show. We were living by 1 day windows. And fortunately, we had the last three episodes of four we needed to do in the Florida Keys. So a little bit manageable. But all of a sudden, be blowing. And then the weatherman said, okay, we got a nice day this week. It's go to 10 to 15, and it's going to blow again. So we would have to jump on that one-day window and knock a show in 1 day. Then it would blow for 3 or 4 more days. But then it'd be another one-day window. We'd have to hit that window, and it would blow. We were in the Keys for 1 week to get those last three shows in. We had 2 days where we got two shows, and then we were blown out for 3 days, and then it got nice. Several days later, we had a trailer from Key West up to Marathon to get that other show in. So you're like a stock car driver trailing all these different speedways trying to get these shows in.
George, that's I was gonna ask about the Azores. Did you take that Mako over there?
That would have totally killed us on that one. There, it was bad enough flying there. We had to fly from Fort Lauderdale to JFK to JFK. Had a fly to San Miguel, and then from there had a fly to Horta. I mean, it was most incredible amount of seat time on a plane. It was like, oh my God, it's unreal.
So, George, when does the first show air?
We air January 5. Our new season kicks off on Discovery Channel Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. And the first episode is January 5, and then we are every Sunday. And I believe our second episode is the one that I did with Tom Daffin.
Tommy Daffin.
I was down in Cape May. We went tog fishing. I said, you know what? I hear all these people go nuts in Jersey for this tog. Uh-huh. I got to do a show and see what this thing's all about. And I actually got a 13.5 pounder, which I thought was really good for me, being not a tog fishing guy. And so, I call that episode, it's named the Colt Fish, because that people put the tog in a Colt category up there.
Is it a Colt?
Memorizes people.
George, well, a double-digit tog is an accomplishment in anyone's book. It's getting to the 20-pound tog club. Shout out to Big Jim Berdini up there at Creekside. Yeah, George, getting that 20-pound, that's beyond the Holy Grail. That's the grail, the crucifix, the rolling away, the stone, the whole bit. George, real fast, again, January 25th, Resorts Casino?
That's correct, our Saltwater Sports and Seminar Series. We roll into town with that, and always a fun time, and good crowd and a lot of good faculty members. So we're all excited about the seminar coming back on January 25.
Hey, could I get in there and grab some of those pastries, man? Yeah, George?
George. Oh, you mean in our green room there?
Yeah.
Oh, heck, you got the VIP pass to the whole place.
Ready to take that. Hide it. Pagaroli's coming. Hide the pastries. Okay, George, you take care. Best Edie. Merry Christmas, brother. Good. I'll see you soon.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Thank you, Tom.
See you, brother. A little long on that segment with George P. Man, again, you want to have a TV show. It's great. I have a YouTube. That's good. When you're in the majors, you cannot believe the pressure to perform. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Merry Christmas from South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, a study that led to many of us getting rid of plastic kitchen utensils has been updated. Hear the latest. Also, what to do when you receive an unexpected gift for the holidays, plus how to deal with the two most dreaded words in a text message, the top secret gift shop that requires security clearance for entry, and the so-called brain rot that gives kids their own language. That and more coming up on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Let's talk about hunger during the holidays. Regular people like you and me can make a difference right now. Every day at the Community Food Bank of New Jersey, we work to fill the emptiness caused by hunger with food, help, and hope. An emptiness felt even more during the holidays. We can make the holidays better for our neighbors in need. Join us. Go to cfbnj.org now to donate today.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Hey, closing out our Christmas show with me, Tom P. Rack and Fin Radio, weekend of December 21st and 22nd. Listen, we always try to put some new products on Rack and Fin here, mostly rods, reels, guns, bows, arrows, whatever. Came across this product. Listen to me. Perfect stocking stuffer. I'm just saying because I'm endorsing anything, man. I talked to a bunch of people, party boat captains, party boat patrons, charter boat captains, charter boat pages, and run-of-the-mill guys out there when it comes to cleaning your tog. Oh, yeah, cleaning a stripe or whatever. Wagging up a tuna. This stuff is called, listen, how effective it is because I tried it on a pheasant deer. Captain Wabbit's Fish Soap. It's a little 2-ounce round. Actually, it looks like a little pastry. That looks pretty. And it's all natural. Don't mean I'm from the 60s. I'd wash my hands with DDT if I got the fish smell off them and the gut smell. This stuff is getting rave reviews. I just want to avail it to you right now. It's in fact, Noel. Shout out to Noel. One stop eight out there, Atlantic City. Sells it by the ton, by the box, by the crate, whatever. It is badass when it comes to getting rid of fish smells, bad, any kind of animal guts. And this thing is amazing. Join us online right now for a minute or two. Is James Diller, founder of... I don't get this name. Captain Wabbit's Fish Soap. Hey, James, we got a couple of minutes here. First, real fast, the name.
Oh, the name, it actually came from an old gamer tag. About 15 years ago, my son and I used a gamer tag called Evil Wabbit. And I bought a boat since then, so I became a captain. So now it's Captain Wabbit, and that's where it came from.
James, The coming up with this, I don't, listen, everything's natural. It's all in the back, what's in there. I can't read half the stuff. But, James, it really, really works, dude. Congratulations on this. I understand you're going to be expanding more into New Jersey. I think the farthest north you're going to find it is Creekside. It's down in some shops. Again, Atlantic City, southern areas there. James, coming up with this idea, what was the catalyst?
You know, my wife and I, my wife hates fish smell. And, we were just trying to find something that worked, and there was nothing out there that worked. So Man, we went through some different formulas, some different base formulas, and we came up with it. I used to stick my hands in the smelliest bait, you know, that bunker, nasty, oily smell.
Men hate.
And then I would wash my hands. I would stick it in my wife's face, say, here, smell this. She's like, nope, that don't work. And we just kept trying until she said, that's the one. And, you know, my wife and I, we started this company. We're still making it in our kitchen.
In the sink. Know, but, how cool. Hey, Dylan, listen. It took away deceased clam smell, bro.
And also
green crab urine smell, bro. This stuff is absolutely amazing. Jim, we have to go. We're closing out the show. By the way, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all that good stuff. Do you have a website something people can go to?
We do. It's called CaptainWabbit.com.
Wabbit, Captain Wabbit.
W-A-B-B-I-T, CaptainWabbit.com.
Okay, based out of Lewis, Delaware. Listen, you talk about a stocking stuffer. This isn't a place. It works. So many people I talk to use it. Say it works, man. Yes. So break it here on Rack and Fin Radio. You have a happy season, a holiday season. I'll see you sometime next spring. I hope I run into you one of my many tackle shops that I frequent.
Oh, absolutely. We're expanding.
Man, and you're doing this, plus your full-time gig, plus this. Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, man, Merry Christmas. You take care.
All right.
Captain Wabbit's, man, it rules. We'll see you.
Thanks, Tom.
That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio. Listen, wasn't a plug, whatever. I bought a couple. I think it's around $6, $7. Listen, it does work. Perfect. Yeah, got the rods, the reels, the hook, the lures. Perfect stocking stuffer. Well, got to go. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Happy Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.